Welcome everyone to this brown bag luncheon that's being conducted online as part of the Day of the Digital Audiobook. My name is Tom Peters, and today is Thursday, February 16th, 2006. I want to welcome everyone to this sort of more informal discussion we're going to have here with some various experts and involved in various digital audiobook services and libraries. I'll be talking about the unabridged digital audiobook service that's using the OverDrive platform. Lori Bell will be talking about the PlayAway self-contained digital audiobook device. And Debbie Baskey will be talking about My Media Mall. Lori and Debbie, do you want to introduce yourselves? And I don't really care who goes first in terms of just kind of setting this up. We'd have a real informal discussion. There are two ways to communicate in this room if this is your first time in this room. You can text chat, moving your cursor into the text chat input box in the left center area of your screen and type your message or press return. Or if you have a microphone connected to your PC, by pressing and holding the control key, you can speak using voice over IP, such as I'm doing now. So Lori and Debbie, why don't you introduce yourselves and we can decide who's going to go first.
Hi, everybody. My name is Debbie Baskey, and I work at the North Suburban Library System, and I'm going to be talking about My Media Mall in a few minutes. Also, I believe our business manager, Dale Lawrence, is in the room, so she might assist helping answer questions via the text chat, and Lori as well, who's a participant and partner in My Media Mall, will also assist answering questions. But basically, I'm the special projects coordinator and academic and special liaison at the system. And I'm happy to be here and share information about our project.
Hi, I'm Lori Bell with the Alliance Library System. And I was previously director of the Mid-Illinois Talking Book Center, where we had a project with Audible, a project with OverDrive, a project with PlayAway, which I'll talk about in this session. And now I'm with Alliance Library System, and we have a membership for our online libraries with Debbie and My Media Mall, and our libraries are really excited about it.
Would either of you two like to go first? It doesn't really matter which order we go in, but I thought maybe we could just briefly describe what our three different projects are, and how sort of we set it up, and maybe some early responses and things like that. And then this is more informal, so people can ask questions or make comments or anything you want on an as-need basis.
Tom, I'm going to defer to you or Lori. I'm actually choking on a piece of bread, so I'd like to go second or third, if that's okay.
Okay, I'll start it off, Lori, unless you want to. And I wish I had some. I hope is that some of that cinnamon raisin bread? I wish I had some of that. It sounds good on a cold winter day. Well, let me briefly describe how Unabridged got started and what we're doing. Way back, I guess it was early in 2004, Lori and I had been in conversations with some folks at OverDrive, and they were just starting to work in earnest on their digital audiobook service. And so it was sort of a happy situation where we were able to engage in lengthy and meaningful conversations with this particular vendor as they were developing their digital audiobook service. And so we continued these conversations, and as we got farther along and as they got farther along, we started talking to other people involved in providing digital audiobook, an audiobook, audio content in general to people who are blind or visually impaired. These things are typically called, these organizations are typically called either talking book centers or libraries for the blind and physically handicapped. And there's a whole network of these nationwide. And so we got talking to some of these other individuals, and there was a situation that's been developing where the National Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, which is a division of the Library of Congress, is planning to launch a national digital audiobook service for the blind and physically handicapped. But they serve, close to a million people, and so it's not a trivial thing to launch a national digital audiobook service in the United States. And it's going to be several years before they're able to do that. And so we knew that there is some demand now among the blind and physically handicapped population for downloadable digital audiobook services. And so, and we knew that OverDrive was working on a downloadable digital audiobook service. And so basically five states got together. The five states are Oregon, Colorado, Illinois, New Hampshire, and Delaware, and launched a self-funded initiative called Unabridged. And we worked with OverDrive, and OverDrive launched their overall service in early November of 2004, and Unabridged launched in late November of 2004. So now we're now into year two of Unabridged. And basically we're using the OverDrive collection and system to offer a downloadable digital audiobook service to blind and physically handicapped individuals in these five states. The National Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped also joined Unabridged and contributed funds toward it. They're using it primarily for internal use, research, evaluation, and things as they prepare to launch their national downloadable digital audiobook service in 2008. So that's how we got started, and it's working quite well. We actually issue card numbers to individuals. We set up a card number scheme. It's a 15-digit card number plus a 4-digit PIN that enables us to get, you know, state-by-state usage statistics and things like that. And as I mentioned in the last session, when a user contacts their state and says that they want to be able to participate in this, the state then verifies that they are a bona fide member, user of a talking book service in that state. And then they contact us for a card number and for a PIN. I've got synchronized browser turned on. Let me quickly browse us into the project site for Unabridged. Here's the project site that just contains some background information about what we're doing here. But we're going well now. And actually, maybe the last thing I would say about just to kind of set up this service is that usage has been steadily growing over the months. The average number of books that a person checks out in a month, if they check out any book at all, the average number that they check out is somewhere between 3 and 4. It's been that way for the last several months now. So we have a lot of what I would call pretty intensive users of the service. We're up to about 1,000 titles now in Unabridged, and 75% of the titles have received at least one use so far. I co-browsed into the list of documents we have here. Right at the bottom, I'm going to co-browse into this. It's just an HTML list that came up late last month, sorted by popularity of these titles. So you can see what the most more popular titles are. So the column you want to pay attention to is what's called turnover. That means how many times has each particular copy turned over since it entered our collection. So you can see that Freedom's Ransom by Anne McCaffrey is Futureland by Walter Mosley are the two. They're both science fiction topics, genres, have both circulated. Each copy has circulated an average of 15 times. So this gives you a sense of what's in our collection and how it's been circulating. So that's just a brief overview of what Unabridged is all about. The other thing I would mention is that we are extending an invitation currently to other libraries that serve the blind and visually impaired in other states who might want to participate in Unabridged, and so our ranks may be increasing here later this spring.
Debbie, do you want to talk about My Media Mall, or do you want me to talk about PlayAway?
I can go ahead and talk about My Media Mall. Lori mentioned My Media Mall a few times earlier today, and basically that is the name of the consortium, as we called it here at North Suburban. And we started this up it went live August 31st, 2005. So it actually hasn't been live too long. So when I show you some statistics, you'll see we just have a few months worth of statistics to show you. So we'll see how things go. Lisa said we lost the page. Let me try hitting synchronized browsing again. As I was saying, like I said, the consortium went live on August 31st, 2005. We currently have 21 members and three more going live on March 1st. Basically, the members are made up of North Suburban Library System members, but we also are partnering with the Lincoln Trail Library System and the Alliance Library System, and we also have members that are in the DuPage Library System. And we continue to grow, and we'll see where things go. The collection, again, is provided by OverDrive, as we said earlier, and for generally it's 80% audio and 20% ebooks, with a mixture of fiction, nonfiction, adult, and children. And basically the way it works is we have a collection committee of 5 people selected from the entire group, and each month they go in and select new titles, and we order new titles every month. We also look at the items that are on hold, and for every title that has 3 holds, we order an additional copy. Lisa, I clicked on synchronized browsing again. I'm not sure. Okay, there we go. And as I said, the collection committee is made up of different talents, those with youth services experience, those in adult, and they select the materials, and we basically trust them to pick out the materials. But the whole consortium can actually, if they have problems with something on the list, they can certainly speak up and say so. As I also said, we do order additional copies if it seems necessary. We obviously can't order duplicates of everything. I'd like to click through to the My Media Mall website. And this is the website, again, that is hosted by OverDrive. They work with you to change and edit the screens and put on the logo that you create, but it is hosted by OverDrive, which is quite nice that we don't have to worry about that. The member libraries are listed on the page, so if you take a look at it, you can see what libraries are part of My Media Mall. I would also say the digital book help screens is probably some of the best help screens I've ever seen for any product. We didn't develop them, but OverDrive did, and they are extremely user-friendly, going through the different software that you need, how to download books, audiobooks, ebooks, comparing softwares, extremely helpful information. Some of the libraries have printed out this information, so I think it can be particularly useful. I'd also like to show you some statistics, if I can. This is some circulation statistics, so you can get a sense of where we are as far as this project goes. Again, I think a lot of libraries jumped into this. We jumped into this not knowing exactly what to expect, but the numbers continue to grow. As you can see, in January, 1,771 checkouts, which I think that's pretty good. And we started in August, again on the 31st, so there was only 61 checkouts on the 31st. Each month it continues to grow. We're happy with the statistics. The numbers, like I said, continue to grow. Oh, you guys can't see the PDF, huh? I don't know why. We will make sure that everybody can get a copy of these. We can send these out to you as well. Go back. These are some, as far as the collection goes, I had said, it's basically we own about or have about 80% audio. You see circulation by format. We have Overdrive audiobooks, Maximum Access. Basically, Maximum Access are leased titles. They have Blackstone titles that you can lease in 50 title increments, and those you don't own as you do the other titles. And those are always available, meaning there's no wait. 100 people can take out one title. So we do lease 100 titles, and so the checkout on those is quite high. And then the Adobe Reader and Mobi Pocket Readers are our ebooks. So that will give you additional titles that would be available for you. So this gives you a good sense of the circulation by format, what people are taking out, what we own, what we lease, and we try to do a combination of both and build up the collection each month. We do have quite a few people on the waiting list for materials. And again, I think that's just the size of the collection. We'll continue to build it up, and I think the waiting list will slowly, hopefully slowly go down. That's just something we need to deal with right now. As far as the libraries that join, or the members that join My Media Mall, it really depends. I mean, obviously, Alliance and Lincoln Trail had a different pricing structure coming in as a system. But generally, for a library that joins, they pay between $1,000 and $6,000, depending on their size, a one-time setup fee to North Suburban. And then now, the libraries that join also need to pay an additional integration fee to Overdrive for $1,500. The libraries that originally joined did not have to pay that fee. Libraries need basically an interest and a want to do this if the patrons are interested. You do need a way to authenticate your patrons, which Lori talked about earlier. So far, it seems the libraries are really happy with it, and we haven't had any, I'd say, major complaints. The one, of course, is the iPod issue, which everybody is aware of, but they still feel that this is an important service to offer to their patrons, and Overdrive is one of the vendors out there offering to do this and working with libraries, and basically that's the way we went with that. As Lori answered, the price, the money goes towards the collection. So yes, that includes the titles that we order and that we lease. And that's basically my overview. I think Lori's going to go, and then we'll open it up to questions.
Okay, great. Debbie, could you turn off co-browsing at your end, and I'll do some co-browsing for Lori. Thanks.
Okay, well, I'll talk a little bit about Play Away at the Mid-Illinois Talking Book Center. And we're lucky that Mike Belcito from Play Away is here. So if you have specific questions about Play Away, we have our expert right here. Last fall, Mike called us up and told us about the Play Away product coming out on the market, and asked if the Talking Book Center would be willing to do a pilot project so that we could give them some information on accessibility. And I said, oh, yes. And when I saw the Play Away, it's hard to, there's a picture of it there, but it's hard to imagine. It's actually a self-playing digital audio book. And so what you see is the player and the book. So we bought all the titles for our patrons, and then we made them available, and if a patron wanted to try one, we would then mail it out, and ask them to fill out a feedback form. And people just love them. The only downside to PlayAway that I can tell you is that they don't have very many titles. We'd like to be able to offer more. People love these because if they don't have a computer, they can still listen to a digital audiobook. They don't have to download anything. They don't have to worry about what kind of player to buy. They just, you know, if they buy it somewhere, that they buy the whole thing. It's like a book because a book is self-contained. You check out a book, you can read it. You know, for libraries, it's excellent too because you don't have to worry about what player people have. You don't have to worry about what format the book is in. You don't have to worry about people having a computer. You can just put them on your shelves and check them out. And when someone's done, they bring it back. You can check it out again. We wondered if we could, change the title on a PlayAway, and you can't do that, but that's okay because, you know, we want to get out of the device business of having to load devices and things. In our next section, I'm going to talk a little bit about our experience with Audible.com and having to load devices, but this is almost just the ideal way to circulate audiobooks for libraries and for patrons. So far, our patrons really like them. They're tiny. They like the portability of them. They like the sound quality. The only problem that they've had, we send them out with the batteries loaded in them. And changing the battery, the battery part is kind of hard to open and change a battery. But other than that, we've had no complaints. People want more titles. People want to keep using them. Tom is our project evaluator, and in March we'll be writing an evaluative report on our project and what the pros and cons were. And one of our main suggestions is going to be we need more content. This is great. The state library in Illinois is buying a PlayAway for every library that serves a population of 25,000 or under to give them at some workshops. The batteries last about 10 to 12 hours. And we have, our libraries have expressed interest in a group purchase, so I'm going to start working on that. Let me see if I can get to some of these questions. How big are they? They're like smaller than your hand. I'm trying to think of how I could compare the size to something. They're really tiny. Mike, do you want to jump in here? Okay, I'll see if I can answer some of these questions, and then we'll go back to Tom and Debbie and take questions from everybody. Sharon, the ones from MintBic are available for your Talking Book patrons, and if you want to try one, in fact, if anybody in Illinois wants to try one, we would be glad to loan one. We've loaned them to several libraries to try, just so you can get the feel for it. Let's see. The pricing and longevity. I can't speak to the longevity, Barbara, but the pricing is $35 to $40, and so it's less than a lot of books on tape or CD. We send out a new pair of earbuds. We send out a pair of earbuds. Of course, we send ours in the mail. But yes, we do disinfect them when they come back. Steve, they seem fairly durable. you know, I'll know more in the next couple months as we write a report. And Mary Beth, I'll have to ask our staff person that does that, but we have something we wipe the earbuds down with so they are sterilized.
And Laurie and Mike, someone asked about security of the devices. If you're going to put them into a public library or they're in some kind of a browsable collection, how do you, are you thinking about, or have you already put in like security strips inside the casing or anything like that?
We haven't put in any security yet. Yeah, the library-friendly protective case is very much like a video case that you would put your videos on the spinners for people to look through. And so that makes it a little bigger, too. It's not so easy to slip one in your pocket.
I think we're kind of the stage where we're just talking about any of these three projects. Do other people have other projects they're involved in involving digital audiobooks in libraries? I think we should just kind of open it up for general discussion now. One thing I could bring up, just talking about these services, is one thing I wish that we could find is with the unabridged project, which is using OverDrive, we set our circulation period at 2 weeks, but a lot of people ask us, and each individual can have up to 5 books checked out at a time currently. And we have quite a few people ask us, can I turn my book back in early so I can check out another book and someone else can use this book? Is it, I don't know, maybe there's somebody in here who knows, but it seems like there's some kind of insurmountable technical reason why these companies can't do that. Does anybody have any thoughts on that?
Tom, actually, I sent a message to OverDrive recently about returning items early. And actually, I don't know if they're going to do this for everybody, but they've actually set up a form that a patron can fill out that says, I want to return this item early. And it goes to OverDrive support, and OverDrive support checks in the item. I just found out about this week, and so I'm not sure if we're going to do this, but I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, it sounds like almost like a workaround. I mean, they know that they got a bit of a problem there, and you know, to have them manually checked back in by OverDrive staff isn't very scalable, as they say.
It's certainly a workaround, but I mean, I guess I'll take it for now.
While we're waiting for other people to come up with questions, since Mike Belcito's microphone is not working, I'll make this announcement for him. We had not originally planned to give away a playaway during this brown bag session, but Mike has graciously consented for Find a Way to give away another playaway during this session. So those of you who are here at the end of this session, Mike is going to pick a number, and one of you will also win a playaway.
Julie, to ask your question, OverDrive currently offers two access models. They start off with the one copy, one reader at a time. It's what I would call the traditional library model. But they've since added, at least for parts of their master collection, they've allowed the library could set it up so there could be multiple concurrent users of the same title. So you can really do it either way, at least for some of their content. But I can say for the unabridged thing is we're still pretty small. We're finding that usually one or two or sometimes three copies is sufficient to meet demand, so we don't have a lot of holds placed on any particular title. Stephanie was asking if anybody has used OverDrive's download station kiosk. I've heard about it, but I haven't actually seen it or spoken with anybody who's used it. I understand, I think Cuyahoga County in Public Library in Ohio is maybe one of the beta test sites for this. As I understand it, and correct me if I'm wrong, but they're basically creating a in-library kiosk where a library patron could bring in his or her, let's say their MP3 player, check out a library book available through OverDrive, connect their MP3 player to this download kiosk, and basically walk away with a library digital audiobook on their player. I think that's how it's going to work.
Hi, Tom. Yeah, that I haven't seen it yet, but that's basically the gist of it. And it also checks your player to see if it's compatible and if you have room on it, how much room you have available. So,
but I haven't seen it, but that's the gist.
I'm not going to co-browse to that PDF file because we found out in this web conferencing software that sometimes co-browsing to PDF files, as we learned earlier in this session, can cause some crazy things to happen for people in the room. So there's the URL, and it'll be part of the record of this session, but I won't take you to there right now.
Tom, I just typed in the URL for the OverDrive kiosk there in the text chat, so there is more information about that kiosk there. Yep, that's it.
Vicky's asking here that if you check out a book and download a title onto your computer or other device, is it permanent or does it go away when the checkout time is over? I'm having a hard time understanding how this works. I can tell you how it works in OverDrive anyway. When you check out a book and download it from the OverDrive server, you basically use the OverDrive Media Console, which is their free software that they've developed to facilitate access and use of their content. And then you can transfer it to a device or burn a set of CDs. When the circulation period expires, the OverDrive Media Console software on your PC detects that, and the next time you launch that software application, it will say, oh, you know, your book has, we detect that one or two or whatever number of books have expired. Would you like to have them deleted off of your hard drive? You can say, you choose yes or no. So basically the software checks itself, you know, basically what it does is it makes the digital audio book unreadable or unlistenable on your computer, and then it prompts you to ask if you want to have it deleted or not. Now, if you transfer it to an MP3 player or burn to a set of CDs, the way it's currently works is that the expiration date really doesn't matter because you can always, you know, you can listen to it on the CD, for example, for as long as that CD lasts. I've heard, I don't know if this is one of those urban myths or something, but I've heard that the next generation of portable playback devices will be smart enough to know when there is some DRM protected content on there and when it expires. And even if you transferred it to your MP3 player, when the circulation period is up, it would become unlistenable. I don't know enough. I don't follow the industry close enough, and I don't have enough technical knowledge to know whether this is really something that's coming down the pike or not.
Tom, do I understand that OverDrive does not sell books directly to users, to library patrons, but only to libraries?
That's my understanding. I don't know anybody else know differently, but my understanding is they only sell to institutions. Libraries are, my sense is their primary base right now are sort of large public libraries for the digital audiobook content. They've been an ebook supplier for years, but for their digital audiobook content, you know, they've got the New York Public Library and the King County Library and the Cleveland Public Library, and but they also have like some, I understand they have some segments of the armed services are using OverDrive downloadable digital audiobooks. But as far as I know, I don't think they sell directly to what I call the end user market.
Another question about the PlayAway. How many books on an average are contained in the package?
Pat, Tom again. As far as I know, and I haven't sort of looked at their list carefully recently, but generally it's only one title per device. But I know I see Michael put that in there too, but they do have several bundled titles. Yeah, sometimes they'll put some things together if they make sense and they have enough room on the, you know, storage space on the device. I don't know, Mike, if you want to type in, you know, do you see that as a trend where you offer more sort of bundled stuff as the capacity of the device gets better, larger? Are there any other questions or comments or information people want to share across? Really, our broad topic during this brown bag discussion is digital audio books and libraries. So we've tried to talk briefly about three initiatives, but we can really talk about anything that we want to under that general rubric.
Tom, I saw a question there about OverDrive pricing for small to medium-sized libraries. Do you want to talk about, Debbie talked a little bit about pricing for My Media Mall and governance and stuff. Do you want to talk about that for Unabridged too?
Yeah, we're a little bit different, I think, than some customers of OverDrive in that we work closely with them to try to make their product as accessible as possible to people who are blind or visually impaired. And we didn't have any sort of formal agreement on this, but we really had a good informal working relationship, collaborative relationship. And so when it came time to actually negotiate the contract with them for the first 2 years, we're able to, you know, get, I think, a pretty good deal. Basically, usually they offer, they charge a startup fee and a platform fee, an annual platform fee, plus the cost of the content. They gave us some pretty deep discounts on some of those parameters. I sort of can't tell you all the details, but they gave us some pretty deep discounts on some of those parameters. So it's been very good for us. To get back to the question of, you know, OverDrive is sort of known as being one of the more expensive, sort of the Cadillac of these digital audiobook services, so to speak, and whether it's priced out beyond the range of small to medium-sized libraries. As far as I know, they're entering into contracts, and the terms of those agreements and contracts are, discussed and agreed upon between the two parties involved. All I can say is that as I look at their customer list, they do seem to be medium to large-ish public library systems seem to be their primary customer base right now. But, you know, anything could be open to negotiation, I think.
We have a lot of small libraries in Alliance Library System, and that's why we bought into My Media Mall with a consortium, because with a big group, we were able to join more inexpensively than any of our libraries. So that has worked well for us and has enabled our small and medium-sized libraries to try offering digital audio.
I'm coming back to Joanne's question. She asked which handheld devices work best for people with poor fine motor skills. That's a very good question, and I think one of my pet peeves about the portable playback device market in general is that I don't think sufficient enough attention has been given to the usability of the devices across the entire population. I try to be nice to the manufacturer community, but I think that they really design these things to be attractive to teenagers, and they don't think about the fact that older adults and all segments of the population would be interested in using these devices. And I think it often boils down to what I call button design, so that the buttons are easily distinguishable, easy to, operate. I see that as a real area that needs some attention across the entire industry. Ben, we're just getting static. Sorry.
Kathy, I can't really speak to the younger users. But with our older users, a lot of them are choosing a player to use with digital audiobooks. You know, there's not the problem of them already having a player, and this is their first experience. So they're buying something that will work with the audiobooks. But, this is a big concern for libraries who want to get more teens in who are using the iPods. Another thing is a lot of teens have more than one device. They have a cell phone, and if they want to read the books, they might just get another player that will handle those.
Sorry about that. I inadvertently co-browsed everybody to a website that had some audio on it, which is kind of, that's what we're all talking about, but no, that wasn't me tickling the ivories there. But I co-browsed away from that because I think it's too distracting, unfortunately. Sorry.
I don't know if the questions are kind of winding down a little bit, but just so that we catch everybody before you have to maybe head off for a little break, Mike, if you could type into the text chat a number between 1 and 115, we'll see if we can't give away another playaway. Okay, 53 it is. Is Jo-Wanda Lindsay from Centerville Public Library here? If you are, just either speak or type into the text chat. Okay, Mike, I guess you get to pick another one.
Rita, to answer your question about what Audible.com is doing, to be honest with you, I'm not really sure. They have You know, sometimes they seem like they're interested in the library market. Sometimes they seem like they aren't. They don't really, as far as I know, last time I checked, they don't have much in the way of an administrative module for libraries. So I'm just not quite sure what Audible's trying to do in the library and institutional marketplace.
Okay, Mike picked a new number. Is Guy Dobson here? Okay, if Guy Dobson is not here, then I know what I'm going to do. Mike, if you could pick one more number, I'm just going to use that to count down in the list of participants who are in the room right now. Is Guy Dobson here now?
He was in, but then he left.
I can talk a little bit about Audible, Rita. We have a project going on with several states with libraries for talking book users, and I know of several libraries that offer Audible in their public library. And Loeb Library is this project for talking book users. The problem with Audible is they're geared mostly for consumers. They have probably the most digital audio content of any vendor out there right now because they've been in business for a while. They don't offer a library management system, so you can't go in and order books and then put them, you know, have them available for people to download. You actually have to circulate them on players that the library owns. So what that means for us is when somebody requests a book, you know, that they see we have on the web, they can't just go and download it anytime they want. They request the book, and then the state library, Talking Book and Braille, which handles the service for Illinois, downloads a book on an MP3 player, and they use Otis's and Creative Mouveau's. Otis's are already not available anymore. Then they mail the player to the patron. The patron listens, mails the player back. So if we're out of players, and somebody wants a book, we can't loan it out. And this is true in the library, too. At one time, they were allowing libraries to check out audiobooks for a patron who had a player and brought it into the library. They don't seem really willing to do that anymore. They were telling us that we could buy coupons from them and give the patron a coupon so that they could go in and download a book. But once the patron downloads the book, it's not part of our collection. It's just sitting on the patron's computer, and so we're actually, if we did that, we'd actually be buying a book for the patron. So with Overdrive and Net Library, where the patron can go in 24/7 and download any book they want and then listen to it on the computer, burn a CD, or put it on their device, we're able to offer a lot more content to users. They're able to do it independently. We hope we're getting users who might not come into the library, and then they can do whatever they want, and they don't have to wait for something coming through the mail. They don't have to come into the library and use a library device. So I hope that kind of gives you an overview of Audible.
Hey, if I can chime in with one thing I've been thinking about. I'm wondering if there, you know, we librarians know that everything sort of boils down to the 80-20 rule, you know, no matter what you look at. I'm wondering if we're dealing with an 80-20 rule here as well, at least a temporary 80-20 rule. And here's what I have in mind. You know, let's say that in round figures, 10% of the population has absolutely no interest in digital audiobooks. It doesn't matter how you delivered it to them. They just aren't interested in them. Maybe 10% of the population is, you know, just ready to go. They know how to download content. They're online all the time. It's no big deal. They're ready to use it. But maybe that 80% is that sort of big middle ground where they might be interested in using a digital audiobook, but they're just sort of cautious or fearful or just don't know how to download content yet. And I'm wondering, and if Mike's still in here, if he could comment on this. But if Playaway is a way to sort of reach that 80%, that middle 80%. You know, I said I think it was at the top of this discussion where I said that based upon the sales figures I'm seeing for portable MP3 players in this past gift-giving season, that my estimate is that there are about 30 million devices now spread across the U.S. population, about 300 million. So that's where I'm sort of pulling that 10% idea from. Any other questions or comments before we wrap up this brown bag luncheon?
Okay, everybody, thanks for attending this session, and thanks to Debbie Baskey and Lori Bell and Tom Peters for telling us more about these great programs, and we'll see you all hopefully in the last session in the Day of the Digital Audiobook that begins at 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. Thanks.
That's about 35 minutes from now, folks. Thanks again.